WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jubilation in both Israel and Gaza. That's the sound in Khan Yunis in Gaza as Israel and Hamas agree to a pause in their two-year war. Hamas agreeing to release the remaining hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli detention. That is phase one of the peace proposal put forth by President Trump. Los Angeles officials announcing the arrest of a man in connection with starting the Palisades fire. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
This suspect is ultimately held accountable. That at least, I think, calms the fear and anxiety that some people felt around what and who was responsible and how this actually occurred.
President Trump's deployment of troops to Illinois at the center of a court hearing today over Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's request to block them from coming. Federal government shutdown grinding into day nine. No public negotiations underway. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced the federal government has lifted its requirement that states assist with immigration enforcement to receive funds through the Victims of Crime Act. According to a press release from the Wisconsin Department of Justice, the state will retain access to over $24 million in federal funding for victim service programs. The immigration enforcement condition was challenged in a multi-state lawsuit filed in August, which argued the obstruction of that funding was unlawful and violated the Constitution. The Republican-controlled Wisconsin State Assembly passed a number of bills aimed at expanding affordable housing on Tuesday. The package of legislation includes proposals like allowing for more construction of accessory dwelling units, allowing some building projects to move forward without needing to comply with new commercial building codes, and creating a starter home loan program. Some of the measures did receive bipartisan support, but Democratic state lawmakers say the package doesn't go far enough to expand affordable housing. Bayfield County is offering residents a new Universal Children's Savings Account program. The Bayfield County Board of Supervisors unanimously approved the pilot program, dubbed Bayfield County Saving Early for Educational Dreams. The program provides participating children with a $100 deposit when families open a college savings account before their second birthday. Families enrolled in the federal WIC program will also receive $200. Bayfield County is the first local government in the state to approve such a program. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is seeking public input on its North Central Forest Draft Regional Master Plan and Environmental Analysis. According to a press release, the North Central Forest ecological landscape covers around 95,000 square miles, including portions of Sawyer, Rusk, Douglas, Washburn, and Barron counties. The master plan is meant to guide resource management and recreation opportunities in the region. Public comments on the draft plan will be accepted until December 7th. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Game 4, Cubs and Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, there will be a Game 4 tonight in Chicago. The Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, 4-3. Chicago scoring all of their runs in the first inning, keeping their playoff hopes alive. On the brink of elimination, Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
It's fun and stressful in the same sentence and the same light, and I think you feel both emotions a lot.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Both teams come out firing, you know, that's what it's about. They know us, we know them. There's a lot of emotion in the game, and it's says something for both teams, really.
NBA, the Bucks host the Pistons in preseason basketball tonight. Doc Rivers asked about that ESPN report that the Bucks discussed trading Giannis to the Knicks.
It was a conversation where a team called, and John has been saying no now for 11 years. I don't know why this is a news story, you know, but I guess it is.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be a little breezy today, mostly sunny with a high of 65 this afternoon. The wind will be south at around 15 to 25 here through the day. We may catch a sprinkle early this evening, then gradual clearing, our low down to 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show to make the popcorn pick of the week. Then joining me in studio is children's illustrator Rob Momartz. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. And now, live from Dallas, a city with so much traffic, you're always an hour away from Dallas, even when you're in Dallas. Here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Parker Olson. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here live from Dallas on this Thursday morning, October 9th, a getaway day, I hope. With that whole government shutdown thing, it feels like this is the day that either some control tower people or TSA people in the Dallas Metroplex are going to be like, you know what?
Just to mess with you in particular.
No. This just happens to be, that. So Tony puts up on YouTube, I vote to keep Parker as the intro guy.
Oh,
all
boy.
Right, well, we've talked about switching it up here.
We have.
Buddy Don Rue does it for a time, and Parker does it on these trips. And I've tried to get some celebrity guest introduction people as well. So,
yeah.
We'll work on that. You know what? We could actually invite the listeners to do that as well, because we have that voice note feature.
Yes.
Civic Media app. So here's the thing. You write it down. You use the voice note feature. If you don't like it, you start over. Start a new one. Maybe throw a little punchline in there as well. Keep it clean, of course, because it's got to go on the radio. But we are very much open to that. We are very open to crowdsourcing the show intros.
Yes. I would love to hear from Tony every day in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Tony says, two birds with one stone just made Parker a celebrity. Oh, he was a celebrity long before this. I mean, around Whitewater, he never has to buy himself a drink.
I was Whitewater Woj. Come on.
Whitewater Woj. I forgot about that. So you can join us using the Civic Media app. You can use that voice note feature. You can send us a text message as well. Now that we're done with the text to win contest for a little while, that's coming back though. I mean, these text to win contests, they're just getting increasingly popular, and we wanted to thank, I know this week yet, I have not officially thanked everybody who sent in texts during our show as part of the contest. I mean, look, I'm no Todd Alba.
Okay. No.
I'm no Jane Mattinair. But y'all did pretty respect. See, I'm falling into the Texas stuff already. Y'all did pretty respectable for being willing to text a radio show at 6-7 o'clock in the morning and enter a contest. So thanks to all of you for doing that. I appreciate it very much. So you can now text in any old thing that you want. You can use the voice note feature. You can get in the comment sections on YouTube and Facebook. If you're only hearing us on the radio and you're ever wondering, what do these goofballs look like? You just head over either on Facebook or YouTube, either for the Up North News pages or the Civic Media pages, and you can see what we do there, and you can put things in the comment sections, and you can see what other people put in the comment sections and say to them, you should get a life. You should not be writing such mean stuff this early in the morning. If you don't like the show, turn the dial. But we've got people that live to put little comments like that in there. So
I think
they'll be back a little later on this hour, because we will have Congressman Mark Pocan joining us to talk about the government shutdown, and also talk about the town hall meetings that he's been holding all across Western Wisconsin. And you're saying, wait a minute, Mark Buchanan is not the congressman for Western Wisconsin. No, he's not. He's the congressman for Southwestern and parts of South Central Wisconsin. But Derek Van Orden's not doing any, so somebody's got to come meet the people and take their questions about all the looming cuts to healthcare programs and things like that. And so Mark Buchanan's been doing that, so we'll talk to him about the shutdown and about the ongoing effort by Republicans to feel like, well, if they just say enough times that it's a Democrat shutdown, you know, that people will believe that. But people understand math. And the math says that Republicans have the White House, they have the House, they have the Senate. It should be their job to, you know, govern and pass a budget, and they can't. They can't agree amongst themselves, and so they need Democratic votes. And Democrats say, fine, we'll give you some votes. How about you put back some of those healthcare cuts that you put in earlier this year? And Republicans say, no, we don't want to talk with you. Fine, then pass your own damn budget. Go on, do it. You have the majority. You have the votes to do this if you could just agree among yourselves. But it's always easier to blame other people when you can't do your own work. I'm listening to Ron Johnson do it again this week, and the stuff that he's saying, just the absolute garbage about how, you know, Democrats hate America and that's why they don't want there to be a but. How about you just work within your own party to get something done? That's all you can do is just lash out at other people. And it's not just Ron Johnson, and it's not just Derek Van Orden doing that. It's Wisconsin's own Sean Duffy, former congressman from up north, who's now the U.S. Transportation Secretary. And on social media yesterday, he put up the little applause emoji as he was applauding Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for video from South Beach in Miami that showed some construction equipment being used to dig up some pavement on a city street. Not just any pavement on a city street. It was a crosswalk on a city street. And not just any crosswalk. It was a crosswalk that was painted in rainbow colors. And that really hurt Sean Duffy's fifis. He just could not bear the thought of it. Remember, he's the one who said, after becoming transportation secretary, that these rainbow crosswalks that let the LGBTQ community know that they do not deserve to be marginalized. They do not deserve to be threatened. This is as much their community as anybody else's. But that hurts people like Ron DeSantis and Sean Duffy. It hurts their manliness. And apparently the way to beef up that manliness is to, you know, show construction equipment literally digging up, not painting over the crosswalk, not, you know, doing anything else to get rid of the paint job, but to literally dig it up is how they got their jollies. And a lot of right-wing politicians, you know, sharing that video, and Sean Duffy doing the same thing when he added the applause emojis. And, you know, the responses, obviously there've been some predictable responses from the right, but I do like the way that some other folks responded to this video. For example, one post says, the next time you think art doesn't matter, just think about how scared in 2025 fascists are about sidewalk chalk. Another says, I'm a straight man who walked across a rainbow crosswalk, and somehow I survived without bursting into flames or crying about my masculinity. Weird, right? Yeah, I know. And, you know, on it goes about, again, the people who love to invent the word snowflake are themselves the ones who are acting the most snowflake-like. And one other post I'm seeing here kind of has the album cover from Now That's What I Call Music. And it says instead, now that's what I call a distraction from the Epstein files. Which, again, I don't know how you can deny that. That just seems to be where we are now, that we're looking for anything. Right now, of course, with the healthcare part of the government shutdown debate, what do we keep hearing from Republicans, from President Trump and others? That it's all about you know, illegals, you know, getting health care, which is so off the mark. And again, I think most people already understand that undocumented immigrants aren't signing up for Medicaid benefits and other things. They can't. They're not documented. They would risk being deported. The things that are being cut are not cutting healthcare for undocumented immigrants. It's cutting the healthcare of hardworking American families under the guise of hurting those undocumented immigrants, those illegals. So you got to go after the LGBTQ. You got to go after the illegals. You got to go after DEI. But in going after diversity, equity, and inclusion, you end up going after a whole bunch of other folks who get caught up in your, you know, race-based politics, like deaf blind children in Wisconsin. Remember, we talked the other day about how a program for deaf blind children is having its federal funding cut, again, in the name of wokeness, that anything that singles out groups for what they consider special treatment is getting cut. Well, the update on that story now is that that particular program, the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program, has had 1 year of its funding restored. At the heart of it is that the grant money that would help these deafblind children in Wisconsin being routed through the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Well, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction does have language in its grant applications that says that where it can, it does try to give a percentage of its grant funds to either women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, businesses owned by veterans or by the disabled. And apparently all of these groups do not deserve special treatment. Well, really? Veterans too? And the disabled too? That's what happens when you go after, you know, the gays, or you go after, you know, other racial groups that you feel like are getting special treatment, is you end up lumping in all kinds of other folks who in your mind probably do deserve some special treatment, but you've managed to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And all of this is to say, why are we getting so caught up in destroying rainbow crosswalks? Why are we getting so caught up in cutting funding for groups that you have some kind of a petty grudge with, when we could instead all be governing together? Instead of cutting the enhanced tax credits for the Affordable Care Act, which is at the heart of this government shutdown, we could be saying, how do we improve the healthcare situation for Americans? We hear all the time from the Ron Johnsons of the world about how bad the Affordable Care Act is. But here's the thing. They've had 15 years. Ron Johnson's been around now for 15 years. He got elected the same time as the blowback from the Affordable Care Act when it first passed. He and others have had every opportunity to do more to improve healthcare. And yet all we've heard year after year after year after year is how they can cut healthcare to regular Americans. And it's not working. And so now they look for the other ways to call the, you know, to create distractions from it. So they're still working to cut your healthcare. They're keeping the government shut down to cut your healthcare, but they're trying so hard to pin it on undocumented immigrants or DEI or, you know, open borders or whatever other kind of stuff that they want to make up. And poll after poll has shown that Americans are not buying this. And now we're facing, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the prospect of things like air travel being delayed and other things not happening as more federal employees are furloughed and threatened with not getting back pay. Every government shutdown that has been caused by Republicans has blown up in their faces because they keep forgetting that American taxpayers, while they're divided on many things, while they're divided on many issues, do agree that because they pay taxes, government should work efficiently and effectively. And if you're just there to shut it all down, you're wasting their money. And most Americans don't like that. We'll talk to Congressman Mark Buchanan about this in about 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on The Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
WBZH, The Buzz of the North, Joel and Gray, Thursday. How you doing, Gray?
I'm present. It's one of those days.
We had a young lady text us. We were talking about the As Seen on TV stuff the other day, and she made a good point, thanks to Lori over in Hayward. She said, you're talking about the As Seen on TV stuff, which affects everybody. Everybody saw it. If you had a TV, you saw it at some point. And she said, what about the Chia Pet?
Oh, man.
And I instantly, that was my first response. I kind of went, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, Lori, but maybe my brain was trying to block it.
Yes, the word is repressed. We repressed the Chia Pet, and that I'm not going to sing it. And partially because of commercial reasons, but because I've had enough of it in my life.
And because you're a certain person in your life likes to use,
man,
a version of that song,
no,
too.
No,
huh?
Rachel and I, you hear Rachel here with me every morning, every Monday morning here on WBZH when we pop in. And no, she likes to sing any three-syllable word to that tune sometimes. And it's a torment, which I love. But
Joel Flacco.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there we go. We are officially a trademark violation, I'm sure. No. See, that one, I think, is they did such a good job. You know, it's stuck better than anything but the Empire Carpet ads.
Well, it's, you know, and the Chia Pet has continued. If you go into some of these Hobby Lobby-ish type stores and stuff like that, probably some stores right around Hayward, you'll see versions of the Chia Pet still around.
And honestly, I think there's always been knockoffs of a sort. You know, it's just that name that they've got more than anything. I don't think you can really own the process of sticking chia seeds to the outside of something and letting them germinate, unless maybe that is their trademark. I shouldn't pull that assumption out of nowhere.
But there's the marketing beyond just, I mean, initially it just started as hair growing on top of a of a head, right? Oh. That was the initial one.
Scooby-Doo.
And pets and stuff like that.
Scooby's the one that comes to mind. It's like there was a lot of Scooby Chia.
Now you got the Elvis Presley Chia pets. I mean, anything that, anything and everything. I mean, in between. I bet there's been thousands of different licenses or copyrights purchased to get the rights to whatever, AC/DC or whatever. It's probably endless. Probably endless.
I would expect so. There were a couple other ones that we definitely left off, like the bubbles that you could blow, and then they were like unpoppable, that were like you basically blow a bubble and it hardens into this balloon type thing that could apparently survive a fork stabbing. Now there's what did you find?
Much like the bobbleheads, I think you can actually get your own custom Chia pet if you want to.
Of your own face.
Where you send your face to someone and they create the Chia pet form, and then it'll actually grow the hair out of something that looks like you.
And now we're just advertising. No, the that one on the top right, I can't tell. Does that look like Aaron Rodgers or Mel Gibson? There's more overlap between Mel and Aaron every year.
I guarantee that whatever you get back from any company you send this to, you'll look at it and you'll go, "That's not me."
Well, yeah, I mean, the old 3D scan of your face. I think my favorite iteration of that, you could do the coffee mug and all that stuff. My favorite was COVID masks when masks were around. But people would, there was a couple people who did the same thing, scan their face and get your own face on a mask. It has some freaky results, actually.
And for young people who maybe don't know what a Chia pet is, just Google it or whatever. It's plants growing out and making the form around it look like something.
Yeah, and when inevitably you conclude, well, that's kind of dumb. Well, Google pet rock, and that's why my generation's smarter than Joel's.
And that's why you always see... You constantly see things in stores, and you're looking at it, and you're just like, "Who's buying that?
No.
Who's buying this?" And then, in the back of your mind, it's just like, "Somebody bought the pet rock."
It's the pet rock. That is the standard. Pet rock really is the standard. I remember we had to in third grade, we had to basically make our own pet rock. But what it was, we made a turkey, and it was a little paper craft turkey with crepe paper feathers that are, you know, on the end of a pencil so they stand up a little bit. But we had to build it a paper house and like take care of these things. And actually, maybe I'm misremembering this and I just took it way more seriously than I thought I did, and I took way more care of it than I needed to. But like it was like I definitely got the pet rock experience with a paper turkey named Pecky.
Well, the George Foreman grill started out as seen on TV product, and it was not supposed to be him. It was initially supposed to be somebody else. I remember hearing that a while back. But there's a lot of, you know, like the OxyCleans and stuff like that. I don't know if they're technically under the restricted name of As Seen on TV, but all started that way. So just think of the products we wouldn't have in our lives if we didn't have it.
I almost need to know, what does Amazon consider an all As Seen on TV? They're kind of towards the bottom there. I bet that is either a bunch of the greatest hits or the greatest misses. There's the pocket hose. Okay. That's a good start. I'm seeing a lot of things I don't recognize. Okay, those are just name brand objects. Those aren't As Seen on TV. Yeah. Yep, I'm thinking the Amazon designation As Seen on TV is here's things we want you to buy.
Yeah, but the Billy Mays days were awesome. Those were awesome because as soon as you see him, you just wanted to watch just for the energy alone of the commercial and just for the presentation and the documentaries they have of how they filmed those. It's a very intriguing part of marketing and sales.
There was even a show about it, like a drama show about what are they called? Infomercial wars or something
right.
like that?
It was Billy Mays versus, I always remember, he's got, the other guy had like a something. British accent or something.
Yeah, I think his name is Sal. I don't remember, but right. I remember him.
And they would compete for top products, right?
Yeah, and I remember the windshield wipers that were supposed to power through, like they were going to blast the windshield with a cannon full of bugs, but then his Billy Mays son stole the bugs because he was like a vegetarian, and that was the plot of the show.
And of course, one of the original, it might have even been before As Seen on TV, was the Ginsu knife.
Oh, yeah.
The Ginsu knife, man. Cutting through the can. I mean, they would take an aluminum can and it would just... Whoosh,
Oh right, yeah, and them. Like the slow-mo, the kind of pseudo slow-mo with 90s resolution.
And I think one of them even cut a penny at one point.
I've seen too many. Like, I've seen them too many times.
Yeah, as seen on TV. Thank you, Lori, for that reminder of the Chia Pet. And now I think I have a Christmas gift idea for somebody. More on the...
More like three.
Not naming names. More to come on the Buzz of the North on a Thursday morning here. It is 7:29.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Make America healthy again. It is a phrase that brought some anxiety to production agriculture. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. But now it looks like at least dairy is finding a way to get along with MAHA. More on that next.
Imagine a future where farming fuels the planet. On Thursday, October 9th at 7 p.m., join us at UW-Eau Claire's Davies Student Center Dakota Ballroom for the Imagine Lecture, Innovations in Sustainable Agriculture and Energy. Dr. Lisa Schulte Moore will show us how Midwest farmers are turning prairie grass, food waste, and manure into clean energy, building a circular bioeconomy that strengthens rural communities and protects our land. Free and open to the public, come curious and leave inspired.
Greg Dowd is the president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. He said that dairy is fitting in nicely with the nutrition policy reviews going on through the Trump administration and the Make America Healthy Again movement.
What they are talking about is really an important change in how we feed ourselves as human beings. And the fact that, you know, we've got to get away from all this ultra-processed stuff that we're in. I think everybody kind of agrees with that. It's just a matter of how you define it, and I don't know what that is and what that looks like. And we need to get back to more protein in our diet. But I think for us in dairy, there is this huge recognition that fat in dairy isn't bad for you. It's good for you. It's brain food. It's a critical thing that helps your body function.
Greg Dowd, president, CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. He says while the next round of federal dietary guidelines is still under review, they're optimistic. He said the market's already responding to the Make America Healthy Again movement. Walmart announcing it's removing synthetic food dyes and about 30 other chemical ingredients from its U.S. food brands by January of 2027. And Wisconsin's only cottage cheese plant is expanding to meet skyrocketing demand for high-protein foods.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Dig into Wisconsin's soil where good things grow. That's the theme for this fall's Ag in the Classroom essay contest. And to encourage fourth and fifth grade students to engage, they're holding a virtual author visit on November 5th with Peggy Thomas, author of The Soil in Jackie's Garden. More available on that at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9, WBZH, Hayward's Real News and Great Conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be a little breezy today, mostly sunny with a high of 65 this afternoon. The wind will be south at around 15 to 25 here through the day. We may catch a sprinkle early this evening, then gradual clearing, our low down to 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids' meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children, right. So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like six tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Todd Alba.
If you're a Windows 10 user, tune in next time as we'll talk about the potential end for support. And we're giving away tickets to No Packers, No Life, the new Packers movie, next time.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays 2 to 4.
You know, you can stay up to date on things we're covering at Up North News by subscribing to our newsletters 6 days a week. They come out now, Monday through Friday. Ellie Bordeaux puts those together. And then I've got a politically themed one, kind of a week in review on Sunday mornings. The newsletter today from Ellie certainly leads with the note of the Brewers losing to the Cubs yesterday, but have a chance to win tonight. She also has a story in there about how Eau Claire County is starting a new program to help coach people on recycling and knowing what goes where so that all that recycling actually can get recycled and used properly. And so again, to learn more, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. On a news matter where people saying, well, wait, how come you haven't said anything about the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas and the prisoner swap and everything else? Only because, again, at the I will plead guilty to being old and curmudgeonly. I hope it all works. I want there to be peace. I want them to, figure it all out, not have the terrorist attacks, not have any more bombings and death. It's just, I'll believe it as it comes together. So it's not that I'm not happy. It's not that it's not a discussion topic worth having. I wish them well. I just, again, the proof is always in the pudding, and let's see how things go from this deal that they've allegedly worked out. I'm putting more of my effort into domestic politics and especially this shutdown that, again, Republicans have the majorities. They could pass a budget. They choose not to in order to protect those health care cuts, and they're not inviting Democrats to negotiate. Democrats like Congressman Mark Pocan, who joins us now from Wisconsin, where he's been touring around the state, and touring by and large the second congressional district, because the guy in the third congressional district seems to have had a problem getting around the district. Congressman Mark Pocan had joined us. I don't know if you froze up or not. Congressman, are you hearing me? I think we might have lost our connection with him. So I'm going to just make this little adjustment here. There he goes. And we should see him click back in just a moment. Like I said, we had him on there, and then it looked like the camera shot froze. So hopefully we'll see the congressman again and get into what he's been doing this week. Again, as he noted, it's his third week back in Wisconsin. 3 weeks where they're not doing any of the public business that they could be doing. They're also not swearing in, for example, new members. We mentioned that there's a new member of Congress elected from Arizona. Speaker Mike Johnson not even holding what's called a pro forma session, a very brief session, to swear in this new member of Congress. Well, Johnson says it's Democrats' fault that as soon as Democrats, reopen the government, again, they don't have the majority. But once Democrats reopen the government, they'll swear in this newly elected Democratic member of Congress. A reporter pointed out to Speaker Mike Johnson that, in the last government shutdown, you held pro forma sessions to swear in newly elected Republican members. Well, that's just a distraction, said Speaker Johnson, and moved on to the next thing. Everything is a distraction with them. No, this is the distraction is from doing things like, putting the Epstein files out there finally so that we can figure out why was the president of the United States mentioned in there. So we'll see if Congress can maybe get its act together and if Speaker Mike Johnson can finally bring them back into session. Congressman Pocan, we've reestablished a connection with him and he joins us now. Congressman, how are you?
Good. You know, living in rural America, as many of your listeners know, I'm now working off of my phone, which has got a couple bars. But, you know, it sure would be nice if we had something like rural broadband everywhere in Wisconsin.
Wouldn't it, though? Wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, and to do that, of course, you'd need a working federal budget, which is where we are at all this. So, I mean, we've gone through this ad nauseum. We've established that Republicans have the majority and they could be doing something about this. And yet, Congressman, from Speaker Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson and others, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy again yesterday, working so hard to label this as some kind of a Democratic shutdown. And they can read polling. They know Americans understand who's at fault on this and that they don't believe them. How much longer do they think they can keep up this facade?
You know, I don't know. I don't quite get their game plan because it changes almost daily a little bit on their messaging, especially at the White House level. But last week I got 85 calls all week about the shutdown. We were getting up to 500 calls a day when President Trump was stealing funds from nonprofits earlier this year through rescissions. And this year, I have gotten 14,435 calls so far on healthcare. So I think I know what people are really watching, not, you know, the shenanigans of the Republicans trying to make some political point in Washington, but they understand that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get our new rate increases because of the big ugly law for the Affordable Care Act. We're also getting group plan rate increases that they had to factor in that law. And, you know, just to give you one example, I talked to an employer Friday night who said they got their new rate increases for next year, 41% increase. And we got people on the Affordable Care Act that we've been told statewide, the average for this demographic, but a couple in their early 60s making $85,000 statewide, we'll see about a $17,000 increase next year in health insurance premiums through the Affordable Care Act because of the Republican action through the big ugly law. So, whether it be the $500 billion cut to Medicare, whether it be everyone's rates going up, whether it be people going to be kicked off of Medicaid after the election in November next year, or the very real effects in the next couple of weeks with people on the Affordable Care Act, people get what's a priority. It's their healthcare, and it's not, you know, whatever game it is that, you know, Mike Johnson and Donald Trump are trying to play.
And if I can just for a moment linger on that one group that you mentioned, maybe because I belong to it. But it, look, we can say a lot about retirees, and we can say a lot about young adults, young families, college students, farmers. There's no shortage of constituencies. But we did have a story from Up North News reporter Selena Heller earlier this week, a woman in La Crosse who was getting rather emotional, talking about these looming health insurance premium increases because they're in the demographic of people in their late 50s, early 60s. They are too young for Medicare, and they've just been waiting and waiting to get on Medicare because they work for a place that doesn't offer health insurance, or, you know, the health insurance is completely unaffordable, or they are self-employed and they are just waiting. But in the meantime, at least we have the Affordable Care Act marketplace to get them there. But that group in particular, some are realizing how tough it's going to be. Others, like you said, they're a week or two or three away from getting a notice and getting the sticker shock of their lives.
Yeah, the 58 to 64 demographic is in the worst place. On if you're on the Affordable Care Act, those are going to be some of the biggest rate increases. We've been told up to $24,000 you could see in Wisconsin. The average will be more about $17,000 for people in that demographic. But everyone is going to get that. And the other thing that I should mention, because you know obviously the Eau Claire area well. I was just up there and, you know, they lost their two hospitals, 73,000 people, no hospitals. You can't even call that a rural hospital when you have 73,000 people, but it still is by definition. You know, they, in the big ugly law, because there so many people are going to lose health insurance, that's uncompensated care. You don't not get sick. You still go to the hospital. That's going to cost about $434 billion across the country. They put a little band-aid on this gaping wound of $50 billion. They're going to cover $1 out of $9. But when you don't cover $1 out of $9, you're going to have hospitals and nursing homes closing down across the country. In Wisconsin, one of the three that's targeted is up in Osseo. It's the Mayo Clinic Oak Ridge facility up there. And, you know, you've got people like Derek Van Orden in Congress, who recently wants to pull away all the federal funding away from the Mayo Clinic, as well as the city of Eau Claire and the village of Ellsworth and other people, because they've somehow said something he doesn't like on the internet. And, you know, it's a pretty scary time given, you know, people, you know, the most people think about, can they afford their mortgage or rent? Do they have health care for their family? Can they maybe take a family vacation? And if we're pulling away a real economic, you know, necessity for people, it's a scary time for people.
What does it say then that somebody like a Congressman Derek Van Orden, or even the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, you know, saying, don't hold these town halls, you know, they love to tar the people, their own constituents who are going to show up as somehow being like paid agitators or something. And so that you've gone through the third congressional district, Derek Van Orden's district, to do these town halls instead. Is there any way that this works positively for people like Congressman Van Orden?
Not if they don't listen to their constituents. And if you don't have town halls, you're not really listening to your constituents. So because we had time when they canceled votes this week, you know, my whole calendar was in Washington. So we, with about 48 hours roughly notice, scheduled 4 town halls in Derek's district, in Richland Center, in Viroqua, La Crosse, and Eau Claire. People showed up in all of them, as well as the media, because they don't see their member of Congress talking about this stuff. And, you know, I always use the Wisconsin smell test. You know, if he really did such a good thing with the big ugly law, and this is such a good fight over the shutdown, you'd want to go to every county in your district and brag about what you did and what you're doing. And instead of doing that, you're hiding in your basement. I mean, people get that you don't have a message when that's the case. So, you know, the rumor is now they may pull next week. We're already trying to assess, do I go into another district, or should I find 3 more communities in the Western Wisconsin district? Because Derek is obviously one of the I guess, biggest chickens in our delegation, because he's never done an open public town hall in the 3 years he's been in office. But, you know, people are, it's a higher hurt in the third district than in my district on what's going to happen on the Affordable Care Act. When you look at the actual numbers people are going to have. And I think, you know, people just have to understand that their member of Congress is actually giving them lies about what this is about. And I'm going around doing truth telling on it.
Congressman Mark Buchanan is our guest, talking about the government shutdown. And again, their hook, if you will, is that all of these cuts that they've made are all about making sure that health care benefits can't go to undocumented immigrants. And they use, just blatantly, you know, racist lines about, you know, if you're an American citizen waiting for, you know, the ER, and there's some immigrant there who's going to get their health care first, blah, blah, blah. Well, first off, you don't know that that's an immigrant. They may be a citizen just the same as you, just not the same skin color. But again, can you talk about just how much of federal health care actually does go to undocumented immigrants?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say the cuts to healthcare in general that they did in the big ugly law were done to provide a tax cut for Elon Musk and Donald Trump and people who can afford to belong to Mar-a-Lago. So first of all, they stole our healthcare to give rich people a tax break. That's first and foremost in all of this. But their argument that this is, I think J.D. Vance said hundreds of billions of dollars, we're doing this because we want hundreds of billions of dollars of healthcare to go to, their words, illegal aliens. Well, here's the reality. You know, I serve on appropriations. I know a thing or two about numbers. By federal law, not a dime can go to an undocumented person. I'm going to use the proper terminology through Medicaid, Medicare, or the Affordable Care Act. Nothing can go directly to someone in that area. The only little bit is in a program that was created under, what was his name, President Ronald Reagan, which is about 1%. Of the Medicaid budget. So 1% of one of those bigger programs budgets is money that goes to hospitals for if you go there and you don't have health insurance, they don't check your papers or anything else, you get coverage. It can work for you or I if we didn't have health insurance, or someone who may be undocumented, but that's a maybe, possibly, kinda, could happen, not reality. And that's 1%. And if you don't have the money going to hospitals, Pat, here's the important part. What happens is we all pay more for insurance to make up for it.
Exactly. Congressman Mark Buchanan, great to catch up with you. Thank you, sir, very much.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Good to check in with you. Safe travels around both congressional districts. We'll be back with more. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin's Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on a Maine ballot initiative pushing restrictions on voter ID and mail-in voting. Then mysteriously, on September 30th, 250 unmarked absentee ballots from Ellsworth, Maine showed up in an Amazon package 40 miles away. The plot thickens. Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows announced that both Maine authorities and the FBI were investigating. Ellsworth's town clerk received two boxes of mail ballots September 30th and notified the Secretary of State's Election Division that one box was missing 250 unmarked mail-in ballots and that the box's security tape had been altered. 40 miles away, a Newburgh, Maine resident reported receiving an Amazon package which included her order and the missing 250 ballots. The resident brought the ballots to the Newburgh town clerk, who notified the Elections Division at 8 a.m. October 1st. But that day, pictures of the resident's beat-up and retaped Amazon box surfaced on social media, with messages decrying Maine's election integrity. The conservative Maine Wire news blog quoted the resident as saying, "I am greatly concerned for our state and its voting requirements." GOP legislators seized on the missing ballots as proof that question one should be passed. Secretary of State Bellows remarked, "To any bad actor involved, you will be caught and you will be punished." We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays. Pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
More to come on the Buzz of the North with Mr. Pat Kreitlow, the main man, Joel and Gray. We just duck in here because, well, they told us they changed a lot.
Doors unlocked and it's warm in here, man. It's cold out there.
Yeah, it is warm. Nice warm equipment blowing out with these little processors and stuff. It's nice.
It's on Pat. He left it unlocked, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and as we get into the winter months here in Hayward and surrounding area, that brings to mind for a lot of people, maybe a little fireplace, a little propane burner, something warm, and a little cup of cocoa or coffee, and doing some hardcore knitting and crocheting. That is a very popular hobby, and one that, I'll be honest with you, I'm intrigued at the talent that people have at this, because it's something that I never got, and I just never, I couldn't sit that long, first of all. I'm a putzer like my dad. I sit more than 30 minutes. I just got to get up and go do something. But there's a certain gift that knitters and crafters have to be able to stick to it.
I don't know. I guess I don't think of that when I think of knitting, I don't picture people who are sitting down for the sake of it. It's generally something that you do when you would normally be generally unoccupied anyway, with exceptions. Nobody's the same as anybody else, of course. But like that just seems, I don't know, I guess I've just never really thought about it that much, but I've sort of assumed it's more of a I'm already here kind of thing.
Well, I'll go to a craft show and I'll see somebody's booth filled with just wonderful knitted, crocheted items. And the first thing I thought,
the first thing that runs through my mind as I stand there and look at it is, that took a lot of time.
Yep.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could commit the time to that. It takes a special person to commit it.
I think it's like a big puzzle. You know, a little bit at a time. I think of the times I've made anything that even close to artistic, and it's never useful, but at least artistic. That's the closest parallel I can draw. I've sculpted a couple golf ball size mini sculptures for a class once upon a time. Uh-huh. And I was super surprised by how satisfying it was to just make a thing that didn't exist before, you know, from your idea into the real world. And I mean, that's just, artists are like, yeah, man, get on board. But like that, I haven't been that. I'm still not that. It was a really cool feeling. So I could picture the motivation behind it. And especially when it comes to, I mean, the old tradition, socks for your family, you know, like that.
Right. There's a logical part of it, the need for it. You're creating something that is kind of saving you money. So yeah. You can buy it.
Even from making those stupid little sculptures that I did for that class 5 years ago, I know that the people who give you things that they make by crocheting or knitting, they are almost always enjoying it more than you are. I mean, like, even if you love your grandma's stuff that she makes you, she's probably getting a lot of value from her day doing that. And like, just smile. Just smile.
And my wife still has a pair or two of knitted kind of like slipper socks, you know. They're knitted. And they're from her grandma, and they're probably pushing 40 to 45 years old.
Yeah.
Family heirlooms, you know, a lot of them become family
heirloom socks. You go ahead.
But the modern day version of that is diamond art. Diamond art kind of has become a thing that a lot of people like to use. It's not knitting or crocheting. But when in my formative years, hook and loop, where you have a basic, like, I remember, now here we go back to the Greeple and Green Bay Purple talk. My mom bought me one of a Viking helmet. Mm. So I'm like, ooh, immediately I was intrigued. I'm just like, I can do this.
Yep.
And I did finish that with the purple and the white, and I hooked them through the little, whatever, the mesh net, whatever it was. And it was very easy to do. But that back then is kind of what diamond art is now. People love to do the diamond art stuff with the real small little things, and they spend hours and hours. And it looks really nice when it's done, but I don't have the patience.
I haven't looked closely at it. I guess I had more of like a paint by number kind of impression, but I'm sure there's any variety of ways to go about it. And you can just, the first thing that comes to mind is perler beads. A few months ago, I made a lot of stuff with perler beads, kind of went through a little mini phase there that I expect to get back into this winter. But they're frankly pretty similar. Perler beads, dropping one at a time, or maybe you buy a little $10 dropper that you can throw them out like a little machine gun so you can do it a little quicker.
Yeah, you have to have good eyesight too for that stuff. I mean, decent anyway.
Again, I was surprised by how much fun it was. Rachel got that stuff because she had a use for it, and on the package for it was, here's a mushroom you can make. And I thought, oh, I'll make Rachel a mushroom. And that very quickly turned into, I've made 7 mushrooms of different designs, 3 of which I made up on the fly. And it's like, I'm being creative with microplastics. Yay. So there's a give and take there, but no, it's, I'm always surprised by how much I enjoy making that stuff.
And a lot of it is about just the hobby and giving your mind something to do, maybe versus something else that's going on in your life. I think a lot of times when you talk to crafters and knitters and quilters, it's kind of about, you know, that's what they're focusing on. They're not thinking about the National Guard invading Chicago. They're not thinking about all the political stuff going on.
Right.
They're thinking about that, and it's mentally healthy, I would guess, probably.
Tell you what, the most positive environments I've ever been in, they came in the form of crafter conventions when I worked at a hotel.
There you go.
They had cute little names, stamps, scraps, paper, scissors, and twine and trim, and find a cute little group with a cute little name and ask if you can volunteer to bring them coffee, because, oh man, like, you're going to go feeling like you're 3 inches taller, twice as handsome, and just a good person.
Yeah. And I will never ridicule or pick on someone for a hobby they have or what they collect, because as a youth, I collected license plates.
Nice. That's a good one. Like,
you can't argue
with that one, though.
Yeah, because my dad used to take us to the dump and I'd get good ones. And I had a grandpa who owned a gas station back in the 50s and 60s, and he gave us some
brand new license plates from the 50s. So I had a license plate collection, and most kids in the 70s and 80s, a lot of them had beer can collections, and that's what I had too, was a beer can collection.
Not as healthy. And I mean, license plates, there's definitely nefarious ways to go about it. But no, the thing is, I try not to judge people, just like you said. But at the same time, if you look at me and you say perler beads, I'll be like, I get it. I get it. Just, but give me a chance.
I think whatever the hobby is, if you find joy in it, if it brings you happiness, just throw yourself into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you can use it as a gift to give to the morning guy in the form of crocheted socks, well, you know, I'm here for you. More with Pat. Did I just ask someone to give some? No. In the previous segment, I insinuated I was going to give a chia pet. Okay.
Whatever you do, don't glue your hat.
More with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North here on a Thursday morning. It is 7:59.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel's cabinet convening today for the first of several votes on approving phase one of the peace plan for Gaza. Here's ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
After 2 years of devastating war, this morning President Trump celebrating a historic step toward peace, telling Fox,
"This is more than Gaza. This is peace in the Middle East, and it's an incredible thing."
Trump announcing on social media what he describes as the first phase of the peace plan, saying Hamas will release all of the hostages very soon. In return, Israel will withdraw its troops to an agreed-upon line.
There were celebrations in both Israel and Gaza today. Two Pennsylvania state troopers are in critical condition after they were shot in an exchange of gunfire with a suspect who was killed. It happened at a sporting goods store. National Guard troops now patrolling in Chicago area, some stationed outside the Broadview Ice Processing Center.